Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
We want to bring you today the last message in a Christmas series that we've been in here at Pursuit Church called The Savior We Need. What we've been doing over the past few weeks is really focusing in on who God really is. You see, a lot of people have a mistaken belief about who God is.
You know, when you think about it, okay, I can shout. I don't need a mic. But when you think about it, sometimes we do get a wrong view of God, right? I know when I was a little girl, they used to pass out these little booklets. They called them tracts. Now, this was back in the 60s and 70s, so we're not going to talk about that. But they passed out these little tracts, and they were basically, the idea was to get you to give your life to Jesus, to understand, you know, what you needed to do in order to have a life with God forever. And so they were like comic books, like graphic novels, these little tracts. And they would always have this picture of God that he looked kind of like a hippie, actually. I don't know if they use that term anymore. But anyway, he looked a little different. He had this long white hair, and he would be sitting on this giant throne. And he always looked so angry, like looking down on you, like he was just waiting for you to mess up so he could whack you. And it was kind of scary, especially if you're a little kid. So it kind of made me wonder, is God always mad? Is he always mad at me? If I don't get right, am I going to get left? You know?
Get right or get left. Come on. You know, and in my experience was, I kind of grew up in more religious, you know, a lot of rules to follow, certain prayers to pray if you wanted this or that. It's really all about do, you know, how do you get to God? How do you get to God? And that's kind of the experience I had.
Yeah. You know, and even when you read some of the stories in the Bible, especially, well, I mean, all throughout the Bible, you know, you read some of the stories and it can kind of look like God is an angry God. You know, he does, there is a penalty for sin. It can look like he's an angry God, and like he just wants to punish us. Like there's no mercy, right?
Yeah, you know, so you can see how someone could develop kind of just this negative image of God. And if you have that negative image, you're just, you know, sometimes you just want to stay clear of him altogether, right?
Yeah.
But the fact is, here's the thing, those negative images of God couldn't be further from the truth.
That's right.
God is a loving God, and God is a merciful God.
You know, you have to remember that when you have a wrong view of God, it makes it hard to relate to him. You know, it's a little easier to relate to Jesus, right? We hear the message of Jesus, and it's love, and it's peace, and it's kindness, and mercy. So it's a little easier to relate to Jesus. But when it comes to relating to God, that's a little harder for some people.
Right. So here's the thing. We got to settle in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
But Jesus is God. You see, those are both true.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Jesus is God because God came in the form of a man, in the form of a baby, in the form of Jesus Christ. And he did that so that we could relate to him. We could better understand his character, his nature, and also we could have the gospel, which is basically telling us how to obey God.
And obedience is important to God. In fact, you know, the penalty for disobedience is death, right?
Yeah.
It's when we disobey God, it's sin. But God loved you and I so much that he sent his one and only son, his word says, to pay the price for that sin.
Yeah.
So that you and I could be forgiven. So that you and I could have relationship and have a right standing with God restored. So that we could have that intimate relationship with the Father.
With God as your heavenly Father. A personal relationship. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's because it signifies the birth of the Savior that God promised he was going to send. to reconcile us to him. And it's exactly what Isaiah is describing in what Abby just read. He's the one who was sent to bring us back into right relationship with God, the relationship that sin disrupted.
That's right. You see, we celebrate Christmas because this is when the Savior that we need was born.
Yeah.
The only Savior who could make a way for you and I to live with God forever. He's the only one.
You know what? If you brought your Bibles today, which I hope you did, bring your paper Bible. I'm going to say it a million times. Bring your paper Bible. If you don't have a paper Bible, get one. We have one in the back. You can. If you don't have a Bible that's paper, we'll give it to you. But open up your Bibles to Isaiah 9, verse 6, and we're going to read it again. And I want us to read it together, like literally. Let's read it out loud together.
All right, so everybody find Isaiah 9, 6. And we do have it on the screen. Do we have it on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, we have it on the screen. But we'd love to have people bring their paper Bible.
Something about a paper Bible, y'all.
Something
you can touch it.
You know, the internet may go down someday.
That's
come
right.
on now.
It's going to go down one of these days. And you got a paper Bible. There you go.
All right. You're good. So is everybody there? Just say, I'm there. I'm there.
Great,
okay.
Great.
So on the count of three, we're going to read Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. One, two, three. For right. to yeah. us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
You know, this is probably one of the most famous scriptures that we look at Christmas, and it's so powerful, so full of meaning. You know, what it's telling us, first of all, is who our Savior is,
yeah.
and it also is telling us what he does.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it talks about him bringing a government that will never end. It's one of the things we talked about in our sermon series,
yeah.
way different than the government of the earth. Those governments are all going to end. The government that Jesus is bringing will never end.
And that's why he's the Savior we really need.
That's right.
Right? So let's look at the names first. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These names tell us who Jesus is, but they also tell us what he does. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. You can go to him when you need wisdom or guidance, when you just don't know what to do. Hebrews 4:16 is one of my very, very favorite scriptures. It says that we can go boldly to the throne of God, and there we receive mercy and grace, not judgment.
Yeah,
not the judgment that a lot of us have stuck in our head yeah. with that vision of God that he's just judging. No. We can go boldly through Jesus to the throne of God and receive mercy and grace whenever we need it. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He gives us wisdom, guidance, discernment. And the primary way he does that is through his word.
So
the
good.
Bible. This is exactly why you have to actually read the Bible. People, a lot of times, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Open up the Bible.
Come on.
God's word is counsel. Jesus is the word. He's your counselor, your wonderful counselor. And then, just like with any counselor, you actually have to do what they say to do, right? If it's going to work, you have to do what they say to do. So, open up the Bible and read it.
Amen. And then the next name that Isaiah brings up is Mighty God. Jesus is God, and he is powerful, my friends. Jesus embodies power in so many different ways, but let me just share briefly three ways that we experience the power of Jesus. The first is Jesus working for you. You know, there's certain things that only Jesus can do. You can't do them without him. And there's certain things that's Jesus working for you. That's part of his power. The next one is Jesus working in you. That's the Holy Spirit that Jesus said in John 14. I'm going to leave you a counselor. I'm going to leave you this Spirit of truth. And it's only through his Holy Spirit that we're actually able to live the life that God is calling us to live. We cannot do it on our own.
Yeah.
And then finally, Jesus has a power. The Mighty God shows us his power by working through us,
yeah.
through us. See, every time you serve God, every time you proclaim his name, every time you do those things for God, that's him working through you. What a powerful, mighty God Jesus is.
Another name is Everlasting Father. That's a very real and relational term, that word Father. That's intentional. Father is a relational role. But here's the thing. Jesus isn't like any earthly father. Yeah. Some of us had really amazing fathers, and some of our fathers, you kind of missed the mark, right? Yeah. Jesus doesn't miss the mark. Yeah. He's perfect. Amen. He's a so perfect, good. Everlasting Father, and he wants a personal, personal relationship with every single one of us.
That's right. So good.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, just like any good father, like as a parent, you discipline your child, right?
Come on.
If you don't discipline your child, y'all, you need to be disciplining that baby. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Preach it. Let's go.
Hello? A good father disciplines a child, right? So sometimes God is going to bring correction. He'll bring correction because you know what? He knows what's best for us. And he never brings it in anger. God is not bringing correction out of anger. He's not mad at you. He knows what's best for you. So he wants to maybe course correct when you start getting off base. And you know one thing about God's love? Sometimes with our parents, and you know, we need to honor our parents. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. And sometimes they miss the mark. You know, we're broken, flawed people. And sometimes our father might have missed the mark. And it may leave you feeling like you got to do something to get back in a right relationship with your earthly father, right? But see, God's love is unconditional.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything so but receive it.
Wow. That's such a powerful truth. This that relational aspect. God is the eternally everlasting Father.
Yeah.
We want to spend a few minutes now on the final name that Isaiah says about our Savior, not just what his name is, but actually who he is.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know, if we look at the world around us right now, peace seems to be kind of elusive, right? I mean, we've got problems. We have anxiety. We're worried about this, worried about that. We're afraid of things. It doesn't seem on the surface, if you were to look at peace that way, to be a lot of peace. But here's the beautiful thing. God's peace isn't like the world's version of peace.
That's right.
Thank the Lord.
That's right.
God's peace is something that we actually can have despite any issues or problems that we're going through.
I want to circle back to that because I feel like we need to hear this. The world has a specific definition of peace.
Right.
That is not God's definition of peace.
Yeah.
God's peace can be in you all the time despite whatever you're going through. I mean, if you look at the birth of Jesus, the circumstances leading up to, and actually the entire event itself, that didn't seem very peaceful to me.
No.
Seriously. I mean, Jesus was born in a time of conflict, a time of division, a lot of political unrest in the world. The Jews were actually living under the oppressive Roman rule. It was a military rule, right? And then there were factions within the church. The world was a very unstable place at that time, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of peace there at all, right?
And then look at how it all began. The angel goes to Mary and announces, you're going to have a child. And by the way, God's the dad. Oh, my goodness, this young teenage girl. She isn't even married yet.
Yeah.
What kind of concerns do you think were in Mary's heart at that point? How am I going to tell Joseph, who she was engaged to, how am I going to tell my parents? Wow, that doesn't sound like a very peaceful scenario, does it?
That's stressful. Can you imagine? That's so stressful.
Yeah.
And then in the last month of her pregnancy, in the very last month when life is just wonderful, okay, in your last month of your pregnancy, right? She has to travel on a donkey. I don't even want to drive to Houston in his truck, okay? She had to travel on a donkey for a week. It was a week. I think it was four to seven days it took them to get on from where they were to Bethlehem on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, to go take some census, right? And then when they get there, they don't even have anywhere to stay. It's not like they could, you know, go online ahead of time and book a room. No, there was nowhere to stay because remember, there was a census. They were going for the census. So all these other people were in Bethlehem for the census too, right? It was crowded. It was full of all these other travelers. Mary's in her last literally few days of her pregnancy. They don't have anywhere to stay. Joseph goes place to place, no room, no vacancy, get out, get lost, whatever. And there's nowhere for them to she doesn't even have a place to have her baby, y'all. Wow. They finally find a barn. Somebody gives them a barn, right? Stinky, filthy, nasty barn. And she goes into the barn, does her best to make a little place. No midwife, y'all.
That's right.
No pain meds. No epidural.
No epidural going
None
on.
None of that. No. None of that. Can the moms in the room say hello? Uh-huh. Y'all know what that's like. Okay, so all of that.
So Jesus, in a chaotic world, yeah. In this extremely stressful situation, that is how he enters the world.
Peace. In a stressful, chaotic situation.
That doesn't seem very peaceful.
No, but here's the deal. Peace is not the absence of trouble, y'all.
That's right. Come on.
Peace is not the absence of trouble.
Yes.
Yep. With Jesus in your life, you can have peace no matter what's going on. And Isaiah, I want you to pay attention to this. Isaiah is intentionally using two very specific words to describe Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You think, okay, Prince of Peace, what does that mean? Like he's the prince, he's the ruler. In the Hebrew, it means sar shalom. The context of this scripture, the word sar is like czar. You've heard of czar, like the border czar. Czar is in charge of something, right?
Yep.
So then he uses the word shalom. And typically, you know, if you know a little bit about the Bible, you think of that word shalom as meaning peace, right? But shalom here, Isaiah puts together with sar, and it takes on the meaning of well-being, but well-being in every area of your life.
Yeah, that's so good.
Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally.
So, pairing these words together, sar shalom, Prince of Peace, really means that Jesus came to be in charge of your physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental well-being. He actually came to be in charge of your entire life.
Yep.
Every
right.
part of your life. And so when we allow Jesus to be in charge of our lives, that's when, my friends, we can have real peace, despite whatever may be going on around you.
So think about that. If you're missing peace in your life, which one of those areas are you not surrendering to God?
That's good. That's good.
So good.
Because you know what? Your life is comprised of those four areas. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So if you don't have any peace, which one of those areas are you not giving to God?
Amen.
Because when you do surrender your entire life, all of those areas, to the Prince of Peace, you will encounter God's perfect peace.
And what does that peace look like? It comes in a couple different forms. Yeah. The Prince of Peace comforts and he saves. Yeah. Look at Matthew 11:28 with me right now. It's what it says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Yes. See, this is Jesus saying, give me all your stuff. Yeah. Give me your hurts. Give me your pain. Give me your struggles. Give me your sin. Give it all to me.
Yeah.
And I will give you rest. Now, the word rest here doesn't mean how you feel after a nap. Okay, that's a great kind of rest. I mean, I love me some naps.
You love you some golf naps.
I love me some golf naps. I love me some naps. But that's not the peace he's talking. That's not the rest he's talking about. What he's talking about here is an inward peace, knowing that when you put your full trust and belief and faith in Christ, that he's going to carry that weight.
Yeah,
that's what he means by rest, and that, my friends, is comfort.
Right. There's comfort in the peace of Jesus, and there's also salvation.
Amen.
Salvation is huge. When we surrender every single part of our lives to Jesus, then we can have peace. Let me go back on that. When you surrender your entire life to Jesus, that's salvation.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
That's called salvation. You're giving it to Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, take control. Be the Lord of my life. That is salvation. And with that, you have peace. Because you know what? You know that Jesus has you. Look at Romans 5:1. You know, go back and read the book of Romans sometime. That book is called, it's the Romans Road, the Road to Romans, right? It tells a lot about the walk in Jesus, the walk of Christ. So here's what it says, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified, justified is a Bible word for making right with God, getting right with God. So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, faith in Jesus, we have peace with God Jesus Christ, our Lord.
That's good. That's real good.
Again, justified just means you're right with God. And if any of us on our own could obey God perfectly all the time, then our behavior would justify us. But that's impossible. Y'all all know that's impossible. This verse says it's through Christ. Justification comes through faith in Christ. And you know what? I think sometimes this is where religion misses it.
Come on.
Religion, religiosity, having to follow all these rules, dress a certain way, act a certain way, you know, say prayers a certain way. They miss it because they put it all on us to do all these things. But that's never going to justify us.
That's right.
Romans 3:23 says that we have all sinned. Every single one of us sins. And we all fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And even when you think you have peace, knowing that, you have no real peace. And you want to know why? It's because you're out of order with God.
Come on, preach it. It's good.
But when we put our faith in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, He brings peace through salvation from our sins. We no longer have to strive to follow all these rules because we're trusting every part of our lives to Jesus.
Amen.
Our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual lives. All those parts of our lives, we give it all to the Prince of Peace. And in exchange, He gives us His peace.
Wow. Gives us His peace.
Yeah.
So incredible. You know, going back to what Pastor Karen was just saying, if you don't have peace in your life, if you don't have peace, ask yourself, what area have I not surrendered to the Prince of Peace?
Yeah.
Start with that. If there's some part of your life, maybe it's your emotions or your physical needs or your finances or your relationships or your marriage. Maybe it's your faith. Yeah. Maybe it's your spiritual needs. Maybe it's your mind.
Yeah.
If you're anxious or afraid and just feeling the need to control things all the time, wherever you're lacking peace, my friends, that's probably an area that you have not fully surrendered to the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Brandon, if you'll come, I want to kind of get ready to end for the day, but I just want to say this. Let me just say this. Some of you guys, and I say this with love and with all due respect, but some of you guys think you have peace. It's easy for us to think that we're at peace with God. But if you've never given every area of your life completely over to Jesus, there's no real peace, y'all. Those places that you won't surrender to the Lordship of God, that you won't let God take control of, whether it's your schedule, your talents, your money, your relationships, any of those areas, if you haven't relinquished those four areas of your life to God, you're not at peace with Him. You're not at peace with Him, y'all. You might be happy. You might have momentary happiness or contentment. But I bet you've already figured out that that is fleeting. It does not last. None of that lasts. You're fine until you're not fine. Right? And then what do you do? What do you do? You chase another feeling. Or maybe you chase another high. Whatever you chase to get happiness or peace. That's a hamster wheel, y'all.
Come on.
That's just a hamster wheel. And the only way off of that wheel is to surrender everything to the Prince of Peace. Everything. Because that's when you'll have real peace in your life. You know, this time of year, I know it can be hard for a lot of us. You know, there's an empty seat around the Christmas table this time of the year for some of us. You know, somebody that we loved a whole lot, someone that was dear to us, they're not there anymore. And this time of the year just kind of, it just seems to bring a lot of emotions and feelings. And it just brings some feelings that, you know, you don't know what to do with it. And so it could be tempting to look for comfort in a lot of other things. Maybe alcohol, maybe a new relationship. A lot of other things other than Jesus. But friend, only Jesus can bring peace. Only Jesus can bring comfort to a broken heart. And only Jesus can bring salvation to a lost, addicted, hurting, troubled soul. So before we end this year, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity right now. Don't leave 2024 the same as when you started it. You have a chance right now to surrender every single area of your life, physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental, to the Prince of Peace, and finally have real, lasting peace in your life. Let's just bow our heads, please. I want to pray for us. You know, we're all searching for something to make life better, to be more comfortable, to be more peaceful. And the truth is, peace can only be found in a relationship with Jesus. So if you have never surrendered your life to Him, you've never asked Him to be in charge of your life, maybe you have and you've gotten a little off base. Right now, if that's you, even if you're feeling something stirring in your heart, that is the Holy Spirit drawing you into a relationship with Jesus. And it's in that relationship that you never have to try to figure things out on your own again. You never have to do that, friend. You can have peace in every area of your life when you surrender it all to Jesus. And I'm going to make that available for you right now. I'm going to ask that believers, if you've already given your life to Jesus, you know, just repeat this prayer after me. For those who want to have Jesus in their heart, in their lives, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer and mean it with your whole heart, and Jesus will become your Prince of Peace. This is what you need to say. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to clap. If you made
yes,
that decision,
we're going
to clap for you.
Yes, celebrate anybody that made that decision. Wow.
The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person turns their life over to Christ. And that's why we clap.
I cannot think of a better day for salvation than the birth of our Savior. Wow.
Yeah.
How beautiful. Hey, listen, we want to spend a few minutes now. This is a time in our service where we bring back to God. And I want to just draw a distinction. You know, we're in what we would call the gift-giving season, right? It's, and Jesus once said it is better to give than to receive. By the way, he did say that. But, you know, I think sometimes we can confuse when we say giving to God. It's a little different. You remember, God has provided everything in your life. Every breath that you take. Every penny that you earn, the Bible says, is only because God gives you the ability to do that. So you see, when we say giving to God, really what we're doing is we're bringing back a portion of what's already His. You see, God, the scripture says, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created the universe. We're just getting a privilege to bring back to Him some of what's already His. And so I encourage you to always keep that mindset when it comes to giving and bringing back to God. And on the screen, there's some ways you can do that today. And also in the seat backs in front of you are some envelopes you'd like to give. Old school way, analog is what I like to call it. If you want to drop those bringing back offerings at the connect table to the right, my right here in the lobby, we encourage you to do that. But I want you to know something, that when you're giving into God's house, specifically certainly here at Pursuit Church, I want you to know that you're giving into good ground.
That's right.
Every penny that you sow into this house goes into this house. You know, we don't have anybody on salary here. In fact, Pastor Karen and I don't take a salary. We're bivocational pastors. So, you know, every penny that you sow is going into things like food pantry. Yesterday, we have a monthly food pantry. Well, yesterday, it was phenomenal. I mean, we had people lined up. We served over 200 people. Can we just say thank you, God? Over 200 people came, and as we always say here about the food pantry, it ain't about the food. I'm telling you, there were people. We got a letter. In fact, Pastor Karen posted a little bit on Facebook, but a lady that's been coming to our food pantry for years now, you know, handed me a letter yesterday, and she just said, "I just want you to know how much y'all have impacted my life." And it had very little to do with the food. What she said in the letter, we read it later at home, was, "You've changed your church, and you all have changed the way I think about prayer. Changed the way I think about how God can actually intervene and answer prayers." That's the reason why we do the food pantry, to show people the love of Jesus Christ. So that's the kind of thing that you're sowing into. Also, we're in a campaign right now called Next Begins Now. We are out of space in this beautiful building already in our kids. We believe God has a bigger space and place for us. Not because, you know, we want some Taj Mahal. No, we want a place bigger so we can accommodate more people, so we can bring the love of Jesus to more people. Remember, God is a God of multiplication.
That's right.
Everywhere you look in Scripture, God is always concerned about the one, but He's always wanting us to multiply what's in our hands. That is a biblical precedent. So it's not wrong to want more if you want it for the right reasons. And so I want you to know that when you're sowing into God's house, when you're sowing into this house, those are the kind of things that it's going for. Would you just pray with me right now? Heavenly Father God, I speak a blessing first upon each person here. Father, will you bless the lives of the givers here, Father, those that are bringing back to you a portion of what you have poured into our lives. And Father, will you take what we bring and will you multiply it, God, because you are a multiplying God like only you can. Will you take what we bring, God, and multiply it for the building of your kingdom here on earth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray.